Hallelujah. If that's your desire tonight, you know, it's going home time. All the signs are there. So let's get ready. Because my next change of address will be heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And whoever stay behind can email me out there. I don't know what the email will be, but I'll let you know. If I answer them, no. God bless you. And thank you, musicians. Appreciate your service. We always are grateful to God that we have so much talent. I mean, but God said he will give us what we had need, right? And I'm glad that he put all the gifts in the right places. So the church can stay in order, because that's what the gifts are for. Keep the church in order. Keep the church going forward. Amen. So tonight is my turn, so no surprise. You know me well. And you got adjusted to my face. And like brother said this morning, I'm just the same ugly guy, tall, handsome, dark. You're not missing much. But one of these days, it's going to be a change of a body. Yeah. Amen. And that's what we're looking forward to. So, tonight is your night, young people. And I'm glad that we are able to teach the younger. Because the Bible said the older teach the younger. And I am, it's a privilege to me and a pleasure to provide you guys with some strong spiritual foundations. Not only that, but to provide guidance for you navigating this life. This life is very complex. Yeah. And you're going to need some tools. Yeah. And you're going to need, you know, more than tools. You're going to need, like the brother said, the Holy Ghost. Because having the tool and not the Holy Ghost, that won't get you too far. Right. You know, it's just like having the word without the Spirit, that kills you. Right. So you need to have a Spirit and the truth and the Spirit. And that's why we are here, to provide guidance for you to navigate life and to provide deeper understanding of your faith. So when somebody asks you, you know, why do you believe this? Then you have an answer. You don't have to tell them, well, why don't you come to church and you can talk to my pastor? No. No. So you will have the understanding of what you believe. And I am so, like I said, privileged, and it's a pleasure, it's an honor for me to be able to serve you and to help you. With some of these things are really close to me. Some of these are experiences that I have gone through and that you have not gone through. But if you listen to me, you will not have to go what I went through. Right. You just got to listen and pay attention that you don't have to do what I did. You know, in fact, I didn't have to do what I did. But God, you know, what Satan uses for evil and wickedness, God makes it for good. Amen. So that's the reason I'm here. He took all my life and, you know, made it work for his purpose. I didn't know that until I came to this message. I'm so glad of this message that bring light, you know, out of the darkness. He takes us out. So let us read one scripture here. Let us move on. I wanted to read Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to read 44. That's the last verse. But I'm going to refer to that chapter as I preach. So I'm not going to read the whole, you know, chapter. But that's your assignment tonight. When you get home, read the whole chapter. I'm going to mention a few things. So Matthew 13:44 says, again, the kingdom of God is like unto a treasure hidden in the field. The which when a man hath found, he hid it. And for joy therefore goes and sell all that he had and buy the field. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, it is an honor and a privilege to be here tonight, Father. There's no other place that I'd rather be, but doing what you will, you desire for me in my life, Father. Father, I'm trusting you. I have confidence. And I depend on you, Father. From now, whatever has to be said, has to be done, you control my mouth. You control what you put in it, what comes out of it. My gestures, my way, everything, Father. I want you to control this vessel, Father, for your glory and your honor tonight. Father, and unction, give that unction to the congregation, Father, the same unction that is up here, Father, so they can also receive from you the word, that portion that you have for them tonight, Father, mainly the young people, Father. And then not only hearers of that word, but that word will fall in hearts that are prepared and ready to receive it tonight and produce 30, 60, 100%, Father, fruits, Father. We thank you for what we heard this morning, Father, but tonight is the evening time. Tonight, Father, we are waiting for our portions, Father. This morning was good eating, so at least give us some good dessert tonight, Father. Father, we love you and we thank you. We appreciate you. And Father, we commit this service into your hands and we commit ourselves to you. And Father, have your way. In Jesus' name, we ask you these things. Amen. You can be seated. So, treasure it. Treasure it. It means treasure, but in a different form of the use of the word. You can use a word treasure as a noun, or you can use it as a verb. A noun means, you know, a box that you get and you put your goodies, you know. You put gold, if you have gold, put some coins. Maybe put your baseball cards, I don't know, whatever you treasure, you know. And then you burn it, and that's it, you know. But when you use treasure as a verb, then it becomes more something that you cherish. Something that is priceless to you. For example, you know, somebody like to treasure their memories. You know, you see people going in a memory, you know, trip. Don't go on a memory trip right now. Just listen to me. Don't leave me. Don't go to Walmart and don't forget everything right now. And let's concentrate and focus on the one that we cherish and the one that we prize is priceless to us. Everything that comes from him is good. Everything that's come from him is life. With the word is life. So we treasure. We treasure to come to church. We treasure one another. We treasure the preaching. We treasure the ministry. We treasure everything that is done here. I treasure. It's priceless. This is the place that I'd rather be. Like I said, this is the happiest place in Tucson. I cannot be any happier, not even in New York. This is the happiest moment is when I come to church. Amen. Not only that, but it's the best place in town. Amen. So we treasure. Why? Because I treasure. I cherish. You know, it's something that is dear to my heart. Why? Because what God did for me. Amen. So the parable that I just read to you, even though it's just one verse, what it emphasizes is the kingdom of heaven. And the value, the immense value that it worth, the value that it worth giving up everything for it. This guy just gave everything for it. And I think you and I, we should learn to give everything for the kingdom of God. But you know where I'm going. I mean, I'm not better stop when I get to preach. But he gave everything he had. So we should give everything we have to pursue, you know, something that is so dear to our hearts. Because if it's that dear to our heart, we do everything in our power to just do what he wants us to do. You know, coming to church is that part. So, when we hold something in high regard, that's what I mean, a treasure that we cherish. We esteem. It's an honor, you know, and we have reverence for it. We take good care of it. We don't want nobody to, you can show it, but don't touch it. No, don't touch it. No, you don't have to, you know, clean it up again. Just look at it, you know, and we pay a lot of attention. And devotion, the things that we cherish. And the value that we had, even though it's not monetary value, it means deeply. There's no price. It's priceless. Nothing can replace it. So intensively, we sincerely, profoundly, you know, we cherish this thing deeply. Like I said, all or nothing. So also implies a sense of appreciation and care. Attention, you know. And sometimes when we don't come to church, you know, we might miss you, but God will never miss you. Because you are His treasure. See, and nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing can take you away. Amen. Because that is God's treasure. And that's what we see in this parable. The treasure was the seed, incorruptible. You know, and where the seed was put in the field, and the field is the world. And 2 Corinthians says, 4:7 says, but we have this treasure in earth vessels. See? In these human bodies. God has put a treasure. So you know where I'm going. You got to cherish that treasure because it's God's treasure. You are His treasure. See? Even though these bodies are frail, but He put there something that is priceless. Something that has no value, that even His blood, you know, what more than His blood that He paid the price, the ultimate price for it. That treasure worth more than that blood. But the man says, if I had a drop of blood, and I would cherish it, you know, and I will just take it and keep it close to my heart. But I say there's something more value than that blood. And that's you, you and me. Because God has paid that price for something that it was worth more than that blood. When you go and buy a car and you give your money, well, now that car must be worth more than your money. Because the car was worth more than the money because you went and got the car. And that is the same thing with us. For God, we are priceless. Amen? And then He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency, the exceeding greatness of God, He says, of the power may be of God and not of us. Amen? You have nothing to do with it. But the man says, I have nothing to do with it. It was Him that called me. It was Him that foreknew me. It was Him that predestinated me. It was Him that did glorify me. We had nothing to do with this. And I'm glad that we had nothing to do because we will mess it up. At least I will mess it up. I don't know about you guys. But I'm glad that He is the one that called, and He's the one that fills us, and He's the one that keeps us, and we can trust Him. Amen. Because nothing will separate us from Him. God don't make a halfway decision. He made a perfect decision. When He chose you before the foundation of the world, He made the right decision. Maybe you don't like yourself like me and the things I do, but God chose. And that's enough for me. In fact, I wouldn't even chose myself for this, for anything, because I know who I am and what I used to do. But I'm glad that He saw beyond that. I am so glad. If Brother Brown said that he predicted that Jesus was going to come in 1973-77, but I'm glad He didn't because I wasn't ready. And He will not live here without missing one at all. So I'm glad He waited for me. I was almost 40 years old. Now, did I love God? Yes, all my life. Did I went to church? Yes, I went to church. Because I love God that much. I used to love, and I love to go to church. When I was your age, young people. But once I graduated from high school, you know, free. No mama, no papa. I make my own decision. I do what I want. Went to college. And from there, I messed up my life so bad that I end up in a war in Vietnam. But that's another story. The only reason I'm standing here preaching to you is because He kept me throughout a war that I put myself into it. But He used that. See? I could have died many times, more than once. But I'm glad that God had another plan. Praise the Lord. And now that I came in, into this message, I can look back and say, wow, now I understand why he spared my life. Even though I made the bad decisions. So I'm so grateful for God. He could have, I just deserved death. He could have let me die. But I'm grateful that he didn't. And how grateful are you tonight? Are you willing to sacrifice everything? Because it's going to take everything. God cannot take half and half, either in or out. No, either all or nothing. God will not share his glory. God will not share his love. God will not share nothing. So either it's everything or nothing. So young people, are you willing to do that? It is a high calling. This is not just a little job, that you can leave and take another one. Once you get called and once you start, it's for life. Okay, let me get it further than that. Eternal life. So you know what that means? You cannot quit. I don't want to quit. It says, so the power may be of God and not of us. No flesh with glory in the presence of the Lord. No flesh. You are God's labor. You are his workmanship. You are his husbandry. You are a building. Peter says, all we have to do is submit ourselves to God, young people. Unless his will be our will. Unless his desire be our desire. Amen. And in due season, we shall be exalted. Amen. That's what the Bible said, right? Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, handiwork. See, God is shaping you right now. God is creating. He was your creator from the beginning. We heard this morning, everything was created by him, for him, and everything is his. And God has created us in Jesus Christ. We are a new creation now. He created the flesh, but he also created the new man. We are new creatures right now. Thank God for that. Handiwork. Unto good work, it says. Not bad work, unto good work. Because everything that God do is good. So far, I had no complaint on my boss. And I won't complain because he won't listen anyway if I complain. Nobody listens. Some people that complain. But I had no complaints. He has been more than good to me. Because what I deserve and what I'm getting is way what I, So it says, before, it says, Jesus Christ, you unto God, where which God had before ordained, predestined, like I said before. He planned you beforehand, before the foundation. He prepared you, prayer, everything. This walk, your people don't get, he's not surprised. He already prepared you step by step by step in this journey. He already know what's going to happen, how it's going to happen. He already has it all figured out for you. And if you listen to God, and if you believe God, and if you stay with God, and if you do his will, things will go a little better. I tell you, because when I started doing what I wanted, things did not go that good. In fact, everything I did, I messed it up. I thought it was good thing, good decision. No, they weren't. Why? Because I was out of the will of God. And nothing can work out of the will of God. But I'm glad that God ordered my steps. And he says over here that he prepared and made us that we should walk in them. See? In this work, so you don't have to figure out anything, young people. All you have to do is accept and believe what he has for you. In fact, you don't have to figure out what's going to happen tomorrow, what you're going to do next day, or what you're going to do in the future, You just submit yourself to God. Commit yourself to God. Seek the kingdom of God first. And everything you want, if that don't happen, the Bible is lying to me. And God don't lie. Seek the kingdom of God first, and everything will be added unto you. What a bargain, man. What a bargain. All we have to do is submit ourselves, yield ourselves to God, to his will. He says, 1 Corinthians 3:9, for we are laborers, joined together with God. See? You are God's husbandry. You know, garden, a vineyard. You know, the Bible said that God goes and prunes, you know, the trees, the vineyard. And he starts pruning those things that cannot get dry and cannot look kind of dead. You know, and he likes to prune in church. He likes to prune all those little things that he don't like. Everything that he don't like about me, everything I don't like about you. You know, we come to church and he comes the preaching and he comes the cutting. And God starts, but he's doing that for what reason? So you can grow. See, because he's the one keeping you. He's the one watching over you. He's the one doing all these things. In fact, he's going to make sure he started the work and he's going to finish it. So you just follow the Spirit of God, I wish he was told this morning. You know, because from beginning to end, it's all predestined for you. Completely. Well, if it's that easy, well, we have so much problem. I get there. Just hold on. Just hold on. So we are labeled together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God building. Like Peter said, living stones. Amen. So everything we are, everything we're going to do, everything we're going to be, is already in his hands. Amen. John 3:9 says, I'm going to talk a little bit about one of the parables that I didn't read, the parable of the sower. You remember that parable? When you have some time, just go through it again. But you remember that the Son of God, the man came sowing some seed, and that's the Son of God anyway. He came sowing some seed, but what happened? That someone else was coming behind. So I'm some seed. So the servants said, Lord, didn't we just put good seed in there? What happened with this? Now we got tares coming out. Can we go and pull them all out right now? We clean up that place, that field? No, let them grow together. That at the end, I will make sure I will do the separation. Because you might pull the good one with the bad one. So, see, that's how, even though as much as we think we are smart and we don't know anything. We don't know who is and who is not. So you might try to pull a bad one. You might pull somebody else with him. So leave it alone. Let's grow together, you know, and we continue. At the end, we shall know who is who. Just make sure that you know that you are who. That you are one of God's children. And leave the other rest alone. God knows who is, who he planted in that field, in the world. And that seed, the Bible says in 1 John 3:9, whosoever is born of God do not commit sin. Of course, right. Brother Branham told us that sin is unbelief.
Right. Yeah.
We don't deliberately or knowingly or willingly do something wrong. Okay? For his seed remains, he says, in him, and he cannot, what? Sin. We do not practice sin. We believe the word of God. When I get up in the morning, I don't get up, well, what am I going to do today? Should I rob a bank? Should I, you know, oh, that guy did me wrong. I'm going to have vengeance. No, I don't get up trying to see what wrong things I could do. In fact, I try to get up to see what God wants me to do. Because that's the only good thing. It's God. So, we not willingly or habitually, you know, get up every morning to see, oh, how can I do something for somebody, you know, that they can remember me forever. Well, you know, we don't do that. So willfully we don't sin. We don't practice sin. And that's the reason we don't practice sin is because God's nature is in our hearts. And as long as we surrender to God's nature, that is our nature. See, we don't have the, I don't belong to the devil. Yeah, and I don't have to do whatever he wants me to do. He's not my father. I know my father. And I know my father is a good father. He's a faithful father. And all he wants is good things for me. So in the morning when I wake up, I thank him. You know, for the birth, when they're singing, from the dogs, when they're biting me and want to get on top of me. Yeah, because in the morning I take my cup of coffee and I sit in the back. And, you know, let the dogs out, and they just want to be all over the place. You know, they chase anything they find out there anyway. And when they don't, they want to jump on me. So they require a lot of attention. Anyway, some of those dogs require, but that's not their fault. That's my fault. I'm the one not bringing them. So that's what I told my wife. You know, if the children do what they do, it's because they saw it from us. Because, you know, they copy. So sometimes we don't need to blame the children. Brother Brown said it's father abuse, mother abuse, parents abuse. So be careful what we do and what we say. Because they listen. They pay attention. You don't think they're paying attention, they pay attention. And they look. So the sword went to sow the seed. See? And another one came. And we know who that one was. That was the devil. That was Satan. However, what happened in that field, we find the two seeds were growing together. But that is what happened. I'm glad that we have this message. That's what happened in the garden. That Satan introduced his seed on her. Not going too far with that. And that's what those two seeds mingled together. But they're there. This flesh we born in a sexual manner is not the way. It's not the way God intended to be. But we come with the seed of God. But it's another seed in there. Well, born out of the flesh, born out of a woman. Why? That's what Satan planned and injected. But God knows, he says, just let them grow together. But there comes a point where we have to make a decision. Because at one point we served Satan. We had no other choice. That's all we knew. See? Because that was the seed that also we are carrying in this field, in this dirt. But we carry another seed, that when that seed see the light of Christ coming across, and then he comes alive, now the other seed has to go. See? Now you have a choice. Before you had no choice, now you have a choice, your people. When you receive the Lord, your Savior, and he filled you, now you have a choice. To serve him or to serve God. You cannot love one, mammon, and you cannot love the one, because you will hate one and you will love one. So you have to decide which one. And I already made my decision. And I hope you make your decision tonight too. Because he has no part in me, Satan. And everything that I want to do, I want to please God in my life. Do I make mistakes? Yes. Do I make errors? Yes. Do I get sometimes make wrong choices? Yes. But I get down on my knee. And I ask for forgiveness. And you know, I move on, because I didn't want to do that. It's not in my heart to do those things. See? So you get up, you make it right as soon as possible, because the longer it stays there, the harder it is to come back. See? Don't even, that's why I said, don't let the sun set on your what? On your anger. A husband and wife, fix everything before you go to bed. Say, honey, I'm sorry for what I did today. I didn't mean to do that. I was a little rough. I was stressed out. Sorry. Good night. Don't go to bed. Young people, the same thing. If you something happened in your... Okay, let's keep the keys, okay? We try to keep it a G, you know, general audience. Listen. Young people. Sometimes we call, you know, lies and white lies and red lies. I don't know how many lies there are there. Black ones, red ones, blue ones. I don't know. But sometimes we don't tell the truth completely. That's a lie. Go to court and don't tell the truth. You know the truth and you don't tell it. That's contempt to court. Because you knew it and you didn't tell. You withheld information. That's contempt to court. No, but I was trying to defend us, or I didn't want somebody to get in trouble. I didn't want to get in trouble. And then we kind of skip certain parts. So make it right, young people. That is for you. That word is not only for people that are married. That is for anybody. You know, if any of you, one of your brothers has an art against you, leave your sacrifice that God make it right. How long are you going to hold that brother or that sister? Well, I'm as long as it takes for her or him to pay for what he did to me. That's not the attitude, right? What happens if the Lord comes? What happens if that person passes away and dies? What are you going to do now? Because whatever sin you can remit whatever sin you can, you know. That's what the Bible said. Amen. So don't let the sun set in anything. Make things right. Your people, make things right. You know, one time I went to a Sunday school. It was at night. It was a Bible study. Like you guys go to Bible study. I was about 14, 16, I think. So I was driving already. You can drive in Puerto Rico at 14. I don't know here, but you can have a license at 14. In fact, I was driving even before I got the license, so it don't matter to me. So I went to the Bible study, and I asked my father to let me borrow the car, and he did. Sometimes I had to hear the whole preaching before I can borrow anything from my dad. But that's the way he was. He will always give me the preaching before. So, okay. So I left. So I decided that I was going to go, and that's where my mind was, to go to the Bible study. I had no intention to do nothing wrong. I had nothing wrong. I had no intention to do anything else. So when I got there, the Bible study ended. One of my friends says to me, "Let's go to the movies." I said, "Why?" "It's 9 o'clock already, 8. Yeah, but see, the end of the movie is still. We can go and watch the end, and we don't have to pay because after 8 o'clock, the ticket guy is not there. You know, you can walk in free." And he was right. I guess he's been doing this for a while. I never done this. And it sounded okay. So I went with him. He convinced me, "We're not going to get in trouble. We just go in and we go out and we watch them." Okay, so I parked, got to downtown park, went to the movie, enjoyed the end of the film, whatever it was, I don't even remember now. But when I came out, I got in my car and I got a ticket, parking ticket. I parked in the wrong place. I was so excited, I guess. I should have paid attention. See, and little things like that, young people, you know, some little details, sometimes you don't think about it. See? So I said, "My God, what am I going to do now?" So I got home and I talked to my mom. I said, "Mom, this is what happened. I didn't mean this. This is what happened, actually. So will you take the ticket and pay it and don't let my dad know anything about it? Please?" And she said, you know, she loved me, so she said, "Okay." But she did. But then a few days later, my father called me in the room. And you said, "Oh, no, the principal called." Yeah. Then my father was, he went through it before I went. So when I'm going, he already coming. So he knows all the tricks. He probably done it too anyway. But so he says to me, "Where were you Tuesday night?" "But Dad, I told you, you know, about the car to go to the Bible story. And you didn't go know all the place." See, he was smart. He first questioned me instead of telling me what he called me for so I can get prepared. No. Because I cannot tell the lie. I already said yes to that question, yes to that question. And then he said, "Yeah, but I got a letter from the motor vehicle." See, my mom didn't know, and I didn't know that this car, my car, was parked in certain, and here's the bill. It's paid, but I got the invoice. Well, I said, "Well, Dad," but I couldn't lie to him anymore now. He got me. So, but I was trying to get away with it. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Stop trying to get away. You know, don't get in any situation that you have to lie to cover things. Because the more you try to cover, the more you have to tell another lie, another lie, another lie. I even make my mom lie. Now I understand better. When Brother Branham, when the guy called from the taxes, and he tell him, "I'm not here," he make her lie, you know, and he went outside and said, "But I'm not here." See, later on, you know, I don't know how many days went by, the phone rings again. And Billy Paul picks the phone, you know. And, oh, it's the government guy again. "Dad, the government, you want me to lie and tell him you're not here?" That's what he said. See, you don't know, you know, what we do, where he goes and how far he goes. So be careful. Be careful, because they're watching and they have ears and they listen. In church too, sure. Not only are there. So don't think that you can get away with anything. You're not that smart. I thought I was smart. I wasn't smart. And that was not the first time I did. I did some other things that I got caught. Every time I did something, I got caught because I failed to plan, right? At that age, what can you plan? And you don't have enough wisdom to plan. A good robbery anyway, if you're going to do that. Don't do it. So, John said, whosoever is born of God cannot commit sin deliberately, knowingly. See, we don't want to sin. Well, we cannot sin because we are born of God. The nature of God is in us. So now I don't have to lie no more. See, why? Because I know better now. I didn't know better before. So the treasure was hid in the field, the Bible said. And the field is the world. God's good seed is the children of God. And the bad seed, the tares, is the seed of the wicked. We know that in that parable. And selling everything, we know that the guy sold everything when he found that treasure, that pearl. In that field, he went and got everything that he had and bought the field, sacrificed himself just to get that field. And that's you. And that's me. God paid already the price for all of us. See, that was his treasure that was buried in you and you and you and you. But God came. Left heavens, his throne, everything behind. He sacrificed on to death just to make sure to purchase you. Amen. See? And Satan is so dumb sometimes because he didn't even know Jesus. If he would have known who Jesus Christ was, yeah, he would not kill them. Right. And you and I will be lost forever.
That's right.
See? You and I and Satan don't know what is inside you. God knows. See, God knows. And God is trying to determine what's there. See, I know you go to church, but so everybody. Well, he has 6,000 years to watch humankind. See, and he don't know what's there, but sometimes he throws something, you know, to see how you respond. See? But Jesus did not respond to him, not the way he wanted to respond. He said, it is written. It is. That's the only response he gave. It is written. It is written. It is written. And you have the same power. You have the Holy Ghost. That's the power of the word. You know? It is written, Satan. It is written, Satan. He will never find out what's there, but he find out what there can do for him. You know? So, selling everything for the kingdom of heaven that is in you. Remember the Bible said the kingdom of heaven is where? Because the kingdom of heaven emptied out. What was in God was emptied out in Jesus. What was in Jesus was emptied out in what? In the church. So that's where the kingdom of heaven is. So the question will be to know how much do you value the kingdom of heaven in you? And what was done for you? The worst, the price that the cost of that was the kingdom of heaven. I will say this. I think the sacrifice will be directly proportional of the willingness to sacrifice, how much to sacrifice. It's just like how much are we willing to give the Lord? See, it will tell me, you know, how much we want to sacrifice. That goes in tithing too. This is not a, don't worry, I'm not going to pass the hat, but that's in everything in your life, not only coming to church. But how much we sacrifice has to do with coming to church too. Are you willing to sacrifice a day of rest? Are you willing to sacrifice a family on Sunday that came to visit you? Where you tell them, you know, I'm going to church on Sunday. If you want to come, you fine with me, but I'll be back. Or when people are out of town, you say, well, a church can wait. How much we are willing to sacrifice for the kingdom of God? That will be the question that I will ask you, young people. I always told you, if you don't find a ride to church, if mom and dad don't bring you to church, call me. You know, Eli Uber. I bring you to church. You don't have to stay home when it's at church time. Just because. You know, call a friend. Call somebody. Just come to church. Everything that we do is a sacrifice anyway. Because if it wasn't a sacrifice, then what are we going to offer the Lord? So forget about this thing that sacrifices. I mean, this is all this walk and this journey it is. You're going to see it's all sacrificing. Sacrificing a will for his will. Sacrificing all. You know, if you don't deny yourself, you know, if you don't deny your own life, it's a sacrifice we got to make. This walk is a sacrifice. How much we want to sacrifice depends on how we perceive the love of God in our life. How much he sacrificed for us. So, we know that this journey that we have, God has put us in this journey, there's a lot of sacrifices, like I said, we have to do. But we have gone, somebody said this, and it's worthy to repeat it. It says, we have gone as far as we can go, unless we are willing to sacrifice a little more. So if this is all we want, we have arrived. But there's more. This walk is not over. There's more. But we cannot go on further unless we decide to sacrifice more. So, directly proportional to our willingness to sacrifice everything. See? It is more of him and less of us. God cannot fill a vessel that is already halfway empty. Either it's empty so he can fill it or not. That requires a sacrifice. I know it's a sacrifice to come to church. You that have kids, and I know how it is. I had mine, and get up in the morning and get dressed, and that one is running half naked that way, and I know how it is. And then next day is school, and we're still in church. Listen, it's all a sacrifice. Might as well set your mind that this is a sacrifice that you are offering for what you believe is a treasure in your heart. If you value that treasure that much, that you're willing to sacrifice anything and everything. See, I know we, a pastor, I know, and I and the minister, we are proud of you. You have come as far as you have come, and we are proud of you. It's not that you haven't done anything. Your partner has done a great job. See? But remember always, and that's nice to remember how far we have come. You know, but we are not over. This trip is not over yet. You are not where you want to be, said the little colored lady. You are not there yet. I'm older than you twice, and I'm not there yet. Because if I was there, you wouldn't see me tonight. When people said, it's good to see you, said, I'm glad that you see me because it's not a matter here. The next time you miss me, then you start worrying, where's Brother Ortiz? No, but I'm glad that you can see me. And you say, glad to see you. Well, not for too long, but on any day we take a fly, like you were talking. So, the color lady says, you know, you are not where you want to be, but neither you are where you want to be. You are not what you used to be, but you are not what you want to be yet. So there's still, you know, a journey to go. And there's still things to go through and things that's going to happen to us. Here, Philippians 1:6 says, being confident, you know, that means I'm convinced, I'm sure, I'm sell out. There's no doubt in my mind. See? I'm confident in this very thing that he which hath begun the work in you will finish it. He will continue until the end, until Jesus Christ will come. Until the day of his return, it says, until the day of Jesus Christ. See, so he will develop us. He will perfect us. He will do the good work, bringing us to a full completion, to a full maturity. He started the work. He swore that he will finish it. So what do you have to do there? Sacrifice yourself. and let him do that kind of work, what else do you need to do? I mean, this is easier than you thought it was, huh? The hard part is to the sacrifice. No. But he will finish the work. He promised it. And when he promised, God will bring it to completion. God will bring it to fruition. God cannot lie to us. All I had to do is say, do unto me. Mary said, do unto me. John 4:34 says, Jesus said, My meat, said Jesus, or nourishment, you know, is to do the will of God. I think it's John 4:34. My meat is to do the will of God. See? To do his pleasure. Of him that sent me and finish his work. Is that how you feel tonight? That's how Jesus said it. You know, the disciples went to get food, you know, they needed to eat. And then he came, and they came back. And he says, you know, these words, right? Because sometimes we don't want to even miss a meal. Sometimes it's good to miss a couple of meals to come to church, don't you think so? Because he's going to nourish us. He's going to feed us. Tonight, this morning, we got fed. Not just tummy, but your soul got fed. And that's more important than the tummy. Anytime. So, only those who are willing to risk and sacrifice everything, they will find out how far they can go. And how far I want to go? A change of a body. That is, you know, the carrot in the stick. You know, it kind of says so. God don't have to do that, but that's what I want. Somebody asked me the other day, what do you want for Christmas? I said, I want a body change. They said, but I cannot give you that. I said, well, sorry then. What about my birthday? No. The only one that can do that is him. And that will be my birthday. That will be my real birthday present. When that day comes, and I will be changed. But it's going to take a sacrifice. It's going to take everything that I have completely. It's not going to be just this much, this far. No. We're going to have to run the whole race. Paul said, run the race. I run the race good. And you know, he said, well, not everybody that runs a race, everybody will win. Only one can win. But Paul said, run the race that you are going to be the winner. Just like Brother Jewel said one time, if one is going to go in the rapture and he has blonde hair, blue eyes, that's me. But he was a black guy, you know. But he said, if, that's me. And you better have to say the same thing about you. If there's only one that he came and paid for to be saved, if you don't feel that way, that is you, then you have to reconsider whatever you believe. But he came to die for me. And if the only one is going to go, it's me. And you have to feel the same way. I know how it is, because I look at myself and I look at some other people and I say, but well, this guy is better than me, and that guy and that guy is better than me. You know, this is not who's better than you or who's worse than you. We don't compare ourselves with anybody. We're all in the same boat. You know, we're all being perfected. We all want to get to that last, you know, to that end where we will receive our change of body. Matthew 11, you know, before I go there. So, I'm going to concentrate the rest of the time, and the message tonight is going to be about temptation, sin, and resisting. That is a requirement. It's not a big requirement, but it's a big thing to do, though. But young people, we can start right here. The message tonight is, if we want to sacrifice everything, you know, for that treasure, then let's start by, you know, learning about temptation, the nature of temptations, the role of sin in our life, and how to resist. Now, why? Let's go to Matthew. Let's go to an example. This is a pattern, okay? Matthew 11:12. And from the day of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent will take it by force. That is the price of the heavenly kingdom if we want to go after. We have to be intense. We have to have a zeal for what we do. See, remember the promised land? Well, God gave it to them, but they had to fight for it. If you want something, you're going to have to fight for it. It's not going to be given to you in a platter. You're going to got to do some fighting. Because Satan is not going to let you go that easy. Just because you received the Lord and got the Holy Ghost, oh, I lost them. Well, no. That's where the battle starts. Let me show you this. Let me show you this right quick. And the way I'm going to approach this, the rest of this preaching right now, I'm going to use a word called treasure. It. Now, remember the last word that I used? My pack, mi pacto. The word tonight is treasure rest. Treasure resist. If I can pronounce. What I did, bring it down a little bit more. I use the word treasure, and at the end I put a little 2S between the I, and it looks like treasure resist. Okay? And every one of those letters means something. And this is what we're going to finish here. The first thing, temptations. The T is for temptation. Now, listen what Jesus says here in Matthew 3:16-17. What Matthew says. And Jesus, when he was baptized, he went straight out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lighting upon him, and light upon him. And the voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am pleased to dwell, actually. So what is the first thing? This is before even he started his ministry. Before he even did anything, what was the first thing that he has to do? As our brother preached this morning, he has to get the Holy Ghost. How Jesus Christ need to get the Holy Ghost? He was perfect, no sin. Listen, he was a pattern. He's a model. So what we're saying, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you know, the sacrifice worth nothing. You can sacrifice nothing. You know why? Because the Holy Ghost is the power that is going to make you live that kind of a life. Without it, you cannot live that life. So if we don't have the Holy Ghost, Satan is not worried about us. Because there's only another nature left in there. It has to be another nation to get out and another nation to come in. So the first thing Jesus did before he started his ministry, before he said a word, he had to receive the Holy Ghost. Because he knows without the Holy Ghost, this ministry would not prosper. Any, like he was saying this morning, any ministry without the Holy Ghost. That's the beginning. So young people, we need to get the Holy Ghost. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. Now, second, Matthew 4:1-7, then he says, then when Jesus led up of the Spirit to the, now, what happens next? That Spirit that came on him, he led him to the what? To the wild, to be what? Tempted. Yeah. Listen, you will not be tempted unless you get the Holy Ghost, because when you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't wake up Satan in the morning, but you get the Holy Ghost and he gets worried now. Because he knows that's the power. And he don't want you to know that. Yeah, he wakes up when you get the Holy Ghost right away. But while you're waiting for the Holy Ghost, he's not worried about it. There's no challenge. But he says, as soon as the Spirit came out, he came out of the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Right away, you think it's going to get better after you get the Holy Ghost? No, it gets worse. Oh, well, you know, don't go there, Brother Eli. I thought it's going to get better. No. You know, the fight starts when you get the Holy Ghost. Actually, the battle starts when you get the Holy Ghost. That's when you start fighting for every step that you take. But now you have a force behind you. You have a power behind you. Before, you had nothing. So Satan is not worried because you cannot do anything and you cannot make anything happen. There's no power. There's no power to live this message. There's no power to be a Christian. So he's not worried. But once you get the Holy Ghost, he just kind of, another one. So he says, but he answered and said, then he was tempted. So you're going to be tempted. Your journey is going to start. He said, and he answered and said, it is written, as soon as he was tempted, man shall not live by bread alone. He was hungry 40 days, 40 nights. He was hungry. He said, well, don't you turn the stones in bread. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So how he defeated Satan? If God would have found another weapon better than the word, he would have given it to us. But the word would defeat Satan any place, any time, every day, in any circumstance. And Jesus knew that. And you need to know that. That to begin with, things are going to get a little, it's not a picnic. Things are going to get a little strange sometimes. Say, like Brother Luke says, I got a pain here. It's kind of a strange. I said, what's so strange about pain? Nothing is strange in that Satan putting the stuff in our bodies. You know, the strange thing is that we will do something about it. But the dog was talking about the spoken word. I'll get to that in a minute. Wait a minute. But he answered and said, it is written again. He was tempted again, twice. You know, in 7. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord our God. You know, hey, why don't you jump and the angels will, you know, grab you, you know, and save you, and you will not smash against the rock. Said, don't. He says, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord. See? Then Jesus answered again. He, 3 times is perfection. And he says, Satan, it is written, thou shalt not worship. You know, I give you all this government. Took it to the pinnacle. I said, listen, I give you all these commandments. They are his. But I give them to you. You worship me. He says, no, that's not going to work. Neither. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. So here's your sample, young people. You get full of the Holy Ghost, and your word is your weapon. You know that Satan cannot create a weapon that will prosper against you, but you have a weapon that can prosper against him. So you are in advantage. So what? Don't be afraid. Because God is in your side. His word is in your side. The Holy Ghost is in you. Satan is a bluffer. Period. Matthew 6:24, kind of getting away from temptation right here. It says, no man can serve 2 masters. And I told you that before. Either he will hate one or he will love the other. Or else he will hold to one and despise another. You cannot serve God and mammon. So we have to make our mind definitely, you know, that we are not serving the all, you know. Because God will put a lot of thoughts in your mind. Now, a temptation is this. It's easy, young people. A temptation comes, and this is the nature of the temptation. It is your will. Temptation says you can have your will, what your flesh wants. Satan puts thought. He says, this is what you want. Do it. But then, the other side is the will of God. What happened to Eve in the garden? She knew what to do. She had the word of God and she said, no, we should not eat, touch, or look at this tree. We already been told that. Okay, she already knew. And she told that word to Satan, right? You think that was it? No. She did not resist it. She should have resisted and stayed with the word. Like Jesus said, it is written. Satan, I don't want it. In fact, we don't. You know, but she didn't resist it. She stayed too long, a little bit too long. And what happened? The thought came and she was doing her will because that's what she desired in her heart. You know, to be a mother. She saw all the animals. They have babies. Pretty babies, you know. And she said, oh, my God, I'd love to have a baby. Because a mother is made to do that. And she wanted one. But Satan said, but I have another way. You can do it. Oh, yeah? Well, you stay too long to listen. Our Satan has to, you don't need to listen. He has nothing to say to you. He has had nothing good to say to you. And anyway, when his lips are moving, he's lying. Anyway, that's what I know he's lying, because he's coming to talk to you. But you have to tell them, it is written. It is written. It is written. Stay with the word of God. Do not get behind that word. Stay behind that word. Do not come out like Eve did. Because see what happened. Okay, John 1:8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know, we cannot kind of, okay, I do it, I don't do it. I go to church, I don't go to church. In my family, there was no I go, I don't go. I get up in the morning, I get dressed, everybody get dressed, and I go to church. Nobody questioned me. I was the authority anyway. Yeah, I was the head of my family. And nobody questioned me. In the 40-some years that my kids lived with me, 30 years after they got married, they got another head. That's on them now, not on me. You know, they never asked him, where are we going? No, they knew where I was going. And they follow. Okay? Never stay home. As long as these doors are open. Amen? So, that's how we teach our children. You are a God to your children. So that means they're looking unto you. You are preaching to them, but are we living what we're preaching? Because they're looking at that too. Well, a guy tells his son, well, you know, smoking is not good for you. It causes cancer. But he's puffing a cigarette. I mean, what kind of a testimony is that? So we had to live what we preach. And we saw it. We saw in the first fruit that was Brother Branham, we saw the first human being in flesh coming to perfection. But he was the first. I mean, there's some more fruit coming. And that's you and me. We are going to get to that point of perfection. But we're not going to listen to Satan anymore. In fact, he's going to get so tired that he probably will leave us alone. In fact, when I get up in the morning, he's going to be scared. That guy is up again. My goodness, you know, send somebody else, you know. Send a spirit, but not. Satan don't want to take care of me anymore. So double-minded is unstable, see? That's just like a church. We got some people that they got a fit in and a fit out, but they're unstable, and you cannot use them. They're not reliable. And you want to, but you can't. Because they haven't defined themselves what they want, either in or out. But you cannot be in and out at the same time. See? So that's what Satan tempted her, Eve. And she chose her will than the will of God. And she knew the will of God. So when Jesus was praying in Gethsemane, he says, let your will be done. But if there's another way, that was the flesh, you know, looking for another way. And sometimes we do that. See, we got our thoughts, and sometimes we want to do something different. Listen, Jesus said, okay, this is the way. And he knew that. He already knew. He found himself in the scripture. He knew what was he came and what his purpose and his end objective. But his flesh kind of, can we do this some other way? No. My way. So either God's way or no way. Well, you can have your way, but that's no way. That's no way to go. So when we are tempted, the temptations, what it do in this journey that God has put you and me in this journey, when you start, you have the Holy Ghost, you need to be sure, convinced, you know, how you're going to deal with Satan when you get tempted. It is not when you get tempted, you are going to get tempted. I still being tempted, you know. Brother Branham, he says, Elijah said, the same like affliction. Everybody get tested. He said, this is not only you. We all going through this. We go through different things because we get older, we get mature. And that little, you know, scene or whatever, that little thought that Satan had when I was 14 don't work now. But that guy is cunning, is deceiving. He says, has some good things because He figures out, okay, 75, I know what you need. He's been washing. He washed. He looks. He's been has years to look at humanity. So all I'm saying is we have to make our mind that when the tempter comes, and it will come, we have a mind made up that it will be his will and not my will. And he knows your weakness. And he knows how to poke. See? To see if you are going to give up or not. Just stand fast in the word. And tell him, it is written. It is written. It is written. But don't say it is written like him and then went and done it. No. You got to be sold out completely. Amen. So, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, it says, there had no temptation, you know, taking you, but such as is common to man. It doesn't matter how it comes. It doesn't matter how, what he want to do, how terrible it is. We all go through this, and it's common to man. And another way, he's not going to do something that you cannot relate to it. It's going to be common to you, common to people, common. See? Because if you cannot relate to it, you're not going to do it. Well, it's smarter than that. It says, taking you, but such as is common to man. And we know that Jesus suffered the same afflictions. You know, Paul, Elijah, we all, Brother Branham, we are suffering the same afflictions. Just because we are here and we are older and you think we have grown, that don't mean that we get tempted. We do get tempted. The journey is not over until it's over. Until we get to the end of the run and return, Jesus returned for us, or we die, he ends. But I am more than sure and convinced my answer will be. You know, it is written, Satan. Your will, you know, of God be done in my life. He says, but God is faithful. You cannot be tested beyond. Another thing, Satan is not going to bring something that is so big and great that it's going to break you. You know, it has to be something that is you like and the flesh will like, the weakness, you know, trying to tempt you. It's not going to bring something so big. And he cannot bring anything that will break you, says, beyond human resistance. But God is faithful. See, we can trust God who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. He's not going to let you be tempted beyond your ability and your strength. He's not going to let him to tempt you more than what you can resist. So you got something in your sight. See? God will let him go so far. Just because he can tempt you, just because he can come, that don't mean he can do whatever he wants to. He has to have permission from God. God will take a look. No, he's not ready for this one. Just bring me another one. But he's not ready for this one. Maybe later on. Maybe when he gets to be 29 or whatever. But see, it has to be approved by God. Because it has to be approved by God because he has to do something that is going to help him, help us spiritually. Because all this temptation comes, why? So he can shape us and mold us, you know? He uses the temptations. Now, temptations come also because you need to know who you are and what the word can do for you and what God can do for you. God knows what you're going to do, but you don't know what God is going to do in you. God has put things in you, and you don't have any idea how that is going to work, but the temptation comes so you can taste and you can be, God can prove to you that he has confidence on what he put in you. That he put in you can go against Satan anytime, in any place. Yes. So the temptation comes and it's not going to be, you know, so great and so big that it's going to break you. God will not allow that. That's not God's intention. That is Satan, but that's not God's intention. He will use them for your own benefit. Okay? So that he said, but with the temptation also make a way out, escape. Yeah. See, I mean, you cannot lose. He let Satan tempt you. He told him what to do and how to do it. No, that one, no, this one. And then he give you a way of escape. He give you the solution on how to get. I mean, the only thing here difficult is to sacrifice ourselves and surrender to God when times of temptation come. That's all. That is the hardest part because everything else is done. We are not out there on ourselves. I'm glad that we have God in us. Say, with that temptation also make a way out for you. So, escape. And that escape, you know, is a word. The word make a way for you. That's all. He already designed it that way. The will of God will make a way. So that you'll be able to bear the temptation. I mean, you see how important it is, and it's not difficult. We make it difficult. Pastor, you make things difficult. They're not that difficult. I'm not a difficult pastor. I'm simply a minister. I'm a simple person. So I look at simple stuff. You know, God is simplicity. Not by might, not by sword, but by the Spirit, amen, says the Lord. I got everything that I need to go from here to heaven. It is already in me. But God is going to prove to me that this is in me. I'm the one that needs to be convinced that God is in me and all that is in me. But that takes a set of trials and tests. But sooner or later you're going to realize, if he did that for me there, he will do it here. Period. See? But that is what we call your training in the journey. God is training you. To handle bigger things and bigger things. The way out, escape. The way, you know, he says in Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and it what? Safe. See, he takes you away from evil. Just run to God. Run to his word. Every time something happens, that is your safe soul. You know that, to begin with, Satan cannot force his will on you. He knows that there's a limit. Why? Because you have, you know, free choice. God would not even force his will on you because he will not break his word. He gave you free will and he cannot break that. So he will not force himself and he will not let Satan force his will on you. So as long as you resist, you win him. Because he's going to stay there and he will do everything that he can. All you have to do is just resist and he will flee away. Because he knows he cannot force himself in anybody. Only by choice. By choice. The next word on treasurist is R-E-A. I think I put it on there. T, treasure. So the next one is R-E-A. And this word, I looked at it in the Hebrew lexicon in the Greek. And it means, let me read it for you. You can follow me. A strong, 7, 4, 5, 3, Rhea. Or reyas. The Hebrew word reyas primarily denotes a person with whom one has close relationship. Such as a friend or a companion. It can also refer to a neighbor, a fellow member of a community. The term emphasizes the social and relational aspects of a human interaction, highlighting the importance of community and what? And fellowship. So, a temptation, what it's trying to do is separate you from God. Because we have a relationship with God. So, every temptation you do is to separate you from God. And then, once we are separated from God, what happened to Eve? Eve was by herself. She should never be by herself. Well, anyway, she was. You know, people come to church and sometimes they get a little dissatisfied or whatever, something happened, as our brother was talking this morning. The first thing you notice that they stop coming to church. Well, what are you doing? You're giving Satan a chance now. Because it's going to be one on one. You come here, and if one can chase 1,000, two can chase 10,000. Never, you know, do that. That's what Eve did. And it's the same thing. Somebody says it's just like when you have a coal, you know, and your steak, you know, you got your little thing there, and you're cooking in the trigger, whatever you use. And if you take a coal out by itself, what happens? It gets cold. So the first thing you know when people are not satisfied or whatever happened, somebody offended, I don't know, because we don't have no idea, and they don't tell anybody anything. They start sitting there, and they just like a fidgety, you know. And then next thing you know, they come to church, and they don't come to church, they come to church. And then next thing you know, you don't see them again. But see, instead of having confidence and trust in what God has put in the church, his gift. If you have a problem or somebody has done something to you, you know, go and fix it. You don't have to stay that way. Satan wants you that way. But God don't want you that way. But anyway, that's enough for their fellowship, relationship, you know. And then once the relationship is broken, you know, that is good for marriages, friends, school. You know, once that relationship is broken, then there's no more trust. People down, there's not, I don't trust the pastor anymore, blah, blah, blah. And then they start getting in this downward move, you know. The next thing, they get depressed. You know, because now they're alone. No company. You know, they have separated themselves. See? And then they start getting depressed. And then they start getting sick. Because depression and stress bring sickness to your body. See, God will not do that. God give you peace. You know, God give you joy. And that is your strength. So, but the word means fellowship, relationship, connection. And what happened? Temptation come to break you away. That's the nature to break you away from that relationship. Nevertheless, Satan break you away from that relationship with God. Because when that relationship is still right, this will stay right. But we know when this starts, you know, being broken, this starts breaking because there's nothing to sustain the rest of the person. So, it says in 1 John 1:7, talking about relationships. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all our sins. So that is the nature of the relationship. That as long as the relationship is up and nice and going, there's nothing in between, you know, we'll be what? Healed from what he says, clean from sin. Because Satan cannot come in. See, Brother Van says, yeah, right now everything is okay, but Satan is going to infiltrate someone, you know, and the more he do, the more what? Separate yourself, the more tighter. Because the more tighter you get, the less Satan can get in. So, never devalue what a brother and sister can do for each other. Never. You need them. I need you. We need each other. And we need to be growing closer, not away from each other. And you know what? We're not going to make the rapture until we get to the same unity that we had before the foundation of the world in the man of God. We were united there. You think we're going to live here in parts? So that's why the Bible said over here, but if you walk in the light, that he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And then he says, John 4:20, if a man says, I love God and hate his brother, he's a liar. For he that love not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he not see? Without unity, we will not make the rapture. That's what Brother Brown says. It has to be unity. We are not going to live in parts. Well, first this half, and then this other half, and then this, when you get ready, no, when we all ready. So I don't know what's going on in You know, I know our brother is talking about situations in with the ministry and other. And we have the same problems here. We don't get together. Brother Doug tried to get the ministry together. Let's have some, go on and have some lunch or breakfast. Well, they fellowship around the piece of chicken, but they would not fellowship around the word. So brother got tired of that, you know. Listen, we were not poking on what, I don't even care what they believe. All we want is to get fellowship. Once we get that, then we can open up and trust God and we can talk. What do you believe? What you believe, brother? Explain it to me because I don't understand. I know what they're saying, but I don't think what they're saying is all complete. But tell me, why do you guys believe what you believe? And show me. You know, I want to know, really. This is not to shame you, to tell you that you're wrong. I really want to know, you know, what you said, you know if it's in the Bible. Because if it is, I will believe it, period. But if it's not, then I wait until I can get the revelation. You know, I tell people, if that revelation is needed for me to make the rapture, God will give it to me. Maybe I don't understand what you got right now, and you're saying, boy, if you don't get it, you're not going. Well, if that is part of my rapture, that revelation, I will get it. Because God is not going to give me halfway thing to go out of here. So in the meantime, I keep what I got until something else comes. Wait and wait on the Lord. Well, Cain and Abel. What did Satan did? He separated Abel, you know, and Cain. One killed the other one. This is the same kind of illustration here. Who hates his brother might as well kill him because he has no influence on you and nobody else. We can kill somebody influence, and that's the end of that. And that's what happened to Cain. Cain killed Abel. Trying to separate him from what? From God. And that's what he tried to do. You know? He tried to separate us from that fellowship, from that connection. And you know, but he can't. Because he cannot separate us from the love of God. He can try. But I love God so much. I will, you know. I don't care if I have to drag myself. If he's pulling my legs, I will drag it with me too if he wants to come. I'm not staying. You know, and that is what sin will do in our life. Sin is very destructive force. And it damages relationship. It corrupts the natural world and the human being. Sin is its ultimate way is death. But that's what the Bible said in Proverbs 19:16. He that keepeth the commandment keep his own soul. I kind of move from Rhea relationship to S, that is sin. He that keeps the commandments of keeping his own soul, but he that despises his way shall what? With the die. There's no life out of God, away from God. The only life that it is God. Amen. And you know that. Being away from God is death. And I want life. Let me read you what Proverbs says. We're talking about sins. Because that is what temptation. Temptation comes to separate you from God. Then, so we can wallow in sin. That's all. Sin means unbelief God. Because this is what Brother Brown says, young people. Before you can believe the lie, you have to disbelieve God. So Satan is trying to tempt you. So you can take his will. And you can disbelieve what the word says. You know, and once we get that far, you know, anything from there on is death. If we continue in that way, and I mean death physically, but spiritually, we have stopped completely until we return, you know. He says, my son, forget my law, but don't forget my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. I'm a witness of that. My mama died last year, 102. And she died in her birthday. 2 days after it should be 103. Now, she loved God. And she honored God. And she honored her parents. She went to church. It was not a message church, but whatever she knew what to do, she did. And God honored that. And if God can honor that, what do you think about you and me that we know, that we claim to know more than that? The heart keeps, like I said, days, long life, peace, and happiness. Well, I added that one. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, written them upon the tables of thy heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not in thy own understanding, and in all thy ways. Listen, not your understanding, not your will, his will. It says, in thy way acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel. Well, Brother Brandon, Brother Doug was talking about, you know, that the first Adam and Eve had no navel. So I don't know what we're talking about here. They had no umbilical cord. And when we get our body changed, he says he's going to look to see, because we won't have an umbilical cord either. So I believe that. Did Adam have one? I don't know. He was the first one made. Unless when he made Adam, he said, you finish. And then, you know. And then he put a little, you know, whatever, a little. Forget my nonsense anyway. Yeah. I saw that in the commercial. Sorry. It was the marshmallow commercial. Have you seen it? Yeah. And the little guy said, you finish. Anyway, and that's where the umbilical came. It says, honor thy Lord with thy substance. And not lightly, he says, with everything you got. And with the first fruit of all thine increase. Well, okay, we're talking about income now, tithing, okay? So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You will have lack of nothing. Amen. What a life, huh? Just to walk with him and the word. My son, despise not the chastising of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he will correct. Even a father, the son in whom he will delight. I got to move quickly here. I don't even know. Okay. Now the U in treasure, T-R-E-A, then S, seen, and you is you. This is what the Bible says, Isaiah 59:19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come like a flood, the spirit of the Lord shall lift, what? Up a standard against him. And who is that? You. You are the standard. So when Satan comes to tempt you and to fight you, who is going to live? God is not going to come in flesh to do anything. But he's going to do it to what? Through you. You are the standard. You are the manifestation of God in earth as it is in heaven. So don't scream and don't cry like Moses did. What did the Bible say? Speak, right? Because you got that authority. It says, you are the answer to Satan's challenge. God sent the power already to you to meet Satan. That's the Holy Ghost in you, is the power to meet Satan. And the word of God is in you, will rise up and face the enemy. Like David did. He wasn't scared. And he didn't have what you and I have. And what that he had, he faced the enemy. Amen. Right? And he cast down every imagination that exalts himself against his word. Because the Holy Ghost is God's word poured into a person. In you. So you already have the power to live this life. If we surrender to it. This is what Brother Brandon says. The face on the whole armor of God. Oh, first it was the spoken word out yonder. Now, here it is. See, it was out there somewhere. We didn't even know this thing. Now when the word is restored completely, now he said, it's here. Now, here it is. You could touch it. You know, the unseen now is seen by faith. You can touch it, almost touch it, he says. He says, it could touch it. It is made flesh. Touch your brother and your sister right quick. Poke him. Come on, don't be afraid. He's not going to. You know what you're touching? What did Brother Brown say? You're not trying to. Where's God? Oh, I cannot see God, but he's right there next to you. Listen what he says. He poured the word into a person, being the form of the Holy Ghost. He said, there you are one, two, three against justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, like a Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and so forth, in perfection. The three, and brother, no, we know this one. He says, now, notice, the spoken word, and our pastor was talking about the spoken word. You know, when he says, Moses, don't cry, speak, right? He says, the spoken word, God above us, God with us, God in us, the word above us, the word with us, the word in us. Then he says, hallelujah. Now he says, you are God's army. He says, marching on. God's spoken word above us in a pillar of fire. God's manifestation of his word in flesh. That's who you are. Now, God's spirit. Spoken word in us. And here, well, you know, before we go over here, we're going to have the spoken word. But you are the spoken word. Every time Satan comes around, who spoke him out of existence? If you want to, you can do it. Brother Van said, you can create another world and go and live into it. We don't need to, but you can. That's how much word is in you right now. You have the power right now to create. To create. Satan cannot create. But you have a power to create. See? It says, so if you need the spoken word, why don't you start speaking Satan out of your life first before you speak somebody else out of a system? You want to try the spoken word? Try it in yourself first. Because that's what you're here for. You are the manifestations of God in flesh again. And what he did then, Jesus, you can do it today. So every time Satan comes, you remind him who you are. Amen. You are the spoken word for our day. Like Jesus was the word for his day. Listen, if that don't make you just run out of church and where is that devil? I'm just going to give him a... I mean, that makes me just... Like that Brother Doug used to preach about the mouse that drank the wine and he said, where's that devil? You know, he was... So... And we come to church and we get intoxicated in the Holy Spirit. And when we go out there, where's that devil? I'm going to break his leg. That is how much power it is in you. We're looking for the spoken word. Start speaking your body into that position. Line up your body with the word of God. You have that power in you. Brother talks about the appearing of the Lord Jesus. Brother Doug was talking about that last week. You know, you have the spoken word to bring Jesus in the scene. Not in flesh. The word is Jesus. But you have the spoken word to bring him into whatever scene you're going through. Brother, our pastor told us that God can appear in all your situation, in those temptations that come to you and all the things you go through, is for you to call him, to speak his name and bring him in the scene so he can take care of that. And the Bible says, in that day, when he appears, now the appearing, Brother Brown says, is different than the coming of the Lord. When he appears, when you call, and you have a situation that is death, or life, and you can speak to that thing, and you get life. See? That's a spoken word. We want the spoken word, to what? To put each other out of a system, because that's what we happen with our character. Our brother will think, we cannot have the spoken word. But with the character of God, you can do speak. Don't cry. Speak. Our pastor was talking We have come to speaking terms. That is our goal, to come to speaking terms with God. And we are. And we are. Where's God? In here. All we have to do is surrender our members, surrender our life, and let Him use you to speak His word in this world. That's all. James says, 1 through 4 says, James, a servant of God and all the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptation. You know what? Because God is doing something in your life. God is manifesting Himself. He will. After that temptation, if we resist, you will see the manifestations of God. You will see Him appearing to take care of that situation. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall in all diverse temptation, knowing that this trying of your faith worketh patience. See? It worketh patience because Abraham was patient and waited for the promise. See? And we have to have patience but let patience have its perfect work, then you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. You believe God, and then you wait. And, you know, sometimes people say, but I'm going to be ashamed. They think I'm lying. God will not shame you. God will not shame you. Because His word will come to pass. He cannot lie. Whatever has been spoken is not going to return in vain. It will do exactly what the purpose that went out to do. And you know that you have that power, that whatever word is spoken, that God has spoken to your life, they have to happen. You can live this life. Okay? Now some people say, well, the message is too hard. Yeah, because you're trying to live the message. But if you let go and let God, you can. This message can be like, I'm a witness that I can live this message because Him, not because me. There's nothing in me, no strength. All His power and all His strength come from God. Why? I just surrender to that. Because He promised me that. Peter 1:7, that the trust of your faith be much more precious than gold that perished through thought it be tried with fire. You know, the four Hebrew children went into the fire. You know, fire, follow me. The Holy Ghost, fire, let it purify me. You know, people are afraid of the Holy Ghost in fire. But we need it. That's what purifies us. Might be found unto praises and honor and to glory and the appearance. This is where our brother was speaking last time. Appearing of Jesus Christ. Now He's coming. He's already here. And when I go home, He's there. Amen. And when I go to work, He's there. Amen. And wherever I go, He's there. Amen. All I have to do is summon. If we live in the kind of life that is pleasing to God, you can summon right in the place that you need Him. Ain't that will give you hope, I mean, that you're not walking alone. That gives you so much hope that it doesn't matter where you encounter, how bad, how terrible. I don't care if you're in an airplane 30,000 miles and the engine is burning. I don't care. Okay. You know, some of us got phobias anyway. Why? Is Jesus going to keep you or not? Did He lie that He's going to keep you or not? And if you die anyway, you're going to a better place. You know. We all got to go through that door. All the rapture, whatever comes first. But that is just a buggy that's going to take us from here to the next life. It's going to take me home. And I'm getting sick and tired of this world already. My next move, I told my wife, I'm going to move from Tucson. No, we are not. No, I'm moving. I'm going to do one more move. And that move is out of here. If that's what you're planning, then come with me. That's my next move. Now the last one is resist. R-E-S-I-T-T. Now, we need to resist, and that means that we need to set oneself against something. It means to stand, to oppose something. We are not to yield to Satan, but to stand up and oppose him. No matter in what form or terror he appears, we are to fight the fight of faith, relying in God alone. Amen. You know, it's interesting because some people believe in Satan, that he appears and he is all this and that, and they cannot believe that Jesus can appear too. I mean, if a person believes in bad, in Satan, then what's wrong with believing in the other side? You have to have you cannot have a negative without having a positive. Actually, the only reason the negative is there is because there is a positive. The reason we have a counterfeit dollar is because it's a real one. So you cannot have one without the other one. And if you look in that Satan is here, something else has to be here. Amen. Now, James 4:7 says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Yield to God, resist the devil, thoughts or his will. See, the devil cannot conquer if you resist. I told you that before. God in you is bigger, is greater, stronger than him outside. Satan cannot force the human will. Therefore, he will flee from you because your choice to cast down any imagination that exalts itself above the will of God, he needs to flee. Because you will not allow that. Sickness. You don't have to allow sickness. I mean, I know what Brother Brown says. You can get healed of that thing today and tomorrow you die of something else. Well, we have to die. This is not going to be resurrected. We got to pay a bill here. The Bible said the day that you eat, the day that day you die. This is all condemned to death. This flesh. But now, but the real me is not. Not the real me. So submit to God in every situation that you get tempted. Resist, submit to God and do his will, his word. And do everything that he desires for you to be done. That's how Jesus fought Satan, and that is the way to do it. It is written. It is written. Yield to God, resist the devil, thoughts and will. Amen. Conclusion, let me read you what Brother Branham says. With our heads bowed, you don't have to, I'm just reading one of his things. I would like to ask this solemn question. How many people present would like to come to that fountain with one God to put his spirit so richly in you like it was in Jesus, so much that you could resist temptations? So without it, we cannot resist temptation. That you have tasted something so much better than tobacco, something so much better than pleasure that drinking will give, so much better than pleasures of going to church. Well, our brother was talking about that, pleasure going to church. You know, than church that it would be go to the car party. Oh, I'm sorry. Better pleasure of going to church than going to this car party. You do like to have that? Do you love to have it? So you could live free from sin. It says, not because you are not tempted. We are going to be tempted all the way. He said, but in every temptation, he will make a way of escape. Would you like to take that inoculation, mean the Holy Ghost? That is your way out. Amen. Without it, we ain't going nowhere. He said, there is a balm in Jesus tonight. Would you love for him to pour upon you soul like he did those at Pentecost? If you would like to be remembered, raise your hand. And by this, you say, Lord, I want your spirit in me. God bless you. He sees every hand. He knows every intention. He knows every heart. Young people, this is not a difficult thing. Life doesn't have to be difficult. If we're walking with Jesus, He will keep us. He promised He will keep us. All we have to do is just surrender and yield and have His Spirit, and He will do the rest. What a deal, huh? Amen. Stand to your feet. Amen. Thank you for your attention. I sure appreciate it. Let us bow our heads. And nobody looking. I ask you the same question Brother Barnard asked. How many want the Spirit to come in them? If you don't have it, how many would like to have the Spirit of God? God sees our hands and God knows what is behind those hands. And God bless you for taking and raising the hand. It takes, you know, to raise the hand, like it takes an effort, because you're lifting your hands against gravity, and that takes an effort. God knows every heart. Father, you know what is in the heart of these young people. You know what is in the heart of these ones that raised their hand. Father, you know, Father, that you will give us freely, Father, the Holy Spirit tonight, Father. And it is to help us, Father, in this journey, to help us against the attacks that come to us, Father, to help us, Father, in this journey, so your will be done in our life. The will that you already works, that you already foreordained before the foundation of the world, that we walk. Father, we cannot walk unless we have the Spirit, the force that is going to help us. Father, the power to walk the walk that Jesus walked. Father, you know every heart, and you will deal accordingly, Father. You know what is there. Do you know what they need? I don't. I don't even have any idea what I need. But you know what I have need of. And you will provide that tonight. And I just hope that, and I pray that something was said, Father, that will help these young people to realize they are not alone. Father, we all tempted, but we are not alone. We are walking with Jesus, Father. And He is the one that keeps us. He is the one that strengthens us. He is the one that blesses us. He is the one that protects us. He is the one that gives us life. Everything, it comes from, all good things, it comes from Him tonight. And we thank you, Father. Father, I just pray that if everything was said, or everything that maybe it didn't sound the way it's supposed to sound, that the Holy Ghost might take anything that it was said and strengthen our Father. Father, we love you, and we just want to be a blessing to your people, Father. That is my heart, Father. Trying to help someone else in this journey, in this walk, the way you have helped me, Father. Because I know that is what you want to do, Father. It's not easy. Nobody says it's going to be easy. But with you, Father, all things are possible tonight. And I thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the ministry. Thank you for the deacons. Thank you for all the gifts you have put in this church to keep this church in order, Father. Father, bless this congregation. Bless those that are listening for whatever reason, if they're sick or needy, Father, you know that we send the agent of the Holy Ghost, Father, to deal with those hearts. You know what they have need tonight, and you can provide that. Father, and tonight, I pray for this church, Father, that you continue, Father, moving us forward, Father, in one accord, in one mind, in one spirit, in one baptism, Father. It's just one God, Father. We want to move as you desire for us to move as a church, Father. Loving each other and loving your word, Father. Thank you for your presence tonight, Father. And we thank you, Father, because you promised that you will be here. But now I'd like to make a request, Father. May that presence, Father, come and in every heart tonight, and may that heart let it have your way tonight, Father. It is the best way that I know. And Father, if I had to do it again, I will choose you first. Sorry that I had to go through what I went through, but you still, Father, I thank you that you still love me. I don't even know why you love me so much after I did the things I did, but you did, and you do love me. And thank you for bringing me to this reality, Father, because this is more real than this world that is outside, Father. Your word is everything, Father, to us. It's more than food. It's more than life, Father, tonight. We love you, and we thank you for all the things you have done and you're still doing in this congregation. Thank you, Father, because you are looking after your children. Thank you for your loving care. Thank you for caring for us. Thank you for blessing this church, Father. Thank you for all you do for us, Father. Thank you. You are so good and you are so faithful. And we love you and we appreciate you tonight. And we appreciate each other. In Jesus' name, Father, we ask you all these things. Amen and amen. Thank you.